Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John begins a new series entitled, Knowing Your Adversary. Ted Pike recently dropped a bombshell when he publicly disclosed that his wife had committed suicide after a lengthy spiritual battle. This hit home with Pastor John as he has dealt with similar attacks from Satan over the years, and has found out that if you're going to combat the devil, it is essential to know your adversary. In this message, we will examine what the Bible has to say about the devil, and how he is not just a myth, but a dangerous spiritual being. Satan may be a defeated foe who has been sentenced to the lake of fire, but he can still do a great deal of damage to human beings. We cannot stop him from attacking us, but we can resist and reject the damage he is trying to do through Jesus' victory on the cross and the power that he has given us. This message is entitled, Who is the Devil? Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church on January 22nd, 2012. And we're going to be beginning a new series of teaching here today called Knowing Your Adversary. And this is not a subject that I selected myself, but this was kind of forced upon me because of circumstances. And we will discuss this and look at this and so that we can be victorious. So I'm just going to pray one more time here. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank and praise you right now for touching the Word as I'm going to be sharing the Word here today. And Lord, help my mind to be at rest so that your Holy Spirit can move through me, Lord. And Father God, that this will be perfect recall and memories. And I'll be able, Father God, to be precise in my presentation. And I thank and I praise you for that now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. This is not a subject that is my favorite. Matter of fact, it's one of my ugliest subjects I have to deal with. But we've got an enemy. And we have to deal with him if we like it or not. And to deal with him, we have to know who we are fighting and what he's doing against us. But last week, something learned about Ted Pike and his wife, Elaine. And I was totally in the dark on this. And so I got an email that told me that she had died. And when I read the email, I said, this is very difficult for me to believe. Because I know Ted Pike, and I've talked to him for many years. So I simply called him up and talked with him a little bit, and also read what he had on his website. And when I saw that, and I read that, I realized that Satan has upped his attack now in a way that we haven't seen that before in our lifetime. Many of the things that Ted Pike shared parallel with my life, with my wife Ina, we have experienced a number of things. And then I read an article this week when I wrote this sermon that stated, this was from ABC News, they had a release that simply said this, that in 2010, one out of every five Americans had a mental issue and was either taken to a hospital or had to ask for help and got some kind of medication. That's one out of five. And I thought, this is really something. This week, my wife actually was attacked in a way that we haven't seen for a long time. Let me regress a little bit, go back in time. This goes back maybe about 12 years. We were in a different location, and Lois Amack could work with us, and she was a treasurer, she was the editor, she was down in church quite a bit, and so on. And one day, she came to me, and she said, you know, I don't believe this. And she was bruised. And I said, what happened to you? She said, I was just walking out of my office when suddenly I became airborne and I flew in the air and just landing on the floor. And I thought, you know, this is kind of strange. But I could see some of the damages. I knew that you'd done this. Well, this week, Satan attacked my wife. And when I saw in the morning, as we woke up, I realized that she had been hit very hard. And I asked, what happened to you? And she didn't quite know. She simply said, all I know is I woke up on the floor. And when I looked upon her, her head was very swollen here. And she had bruises on her nose that had been scraped off. And if you look upon it today, you also got the big bulge on the left side of the nose, and she must have hit the floor something very hard. And I realized, and then she said this, now I know what an earthquake is, because when I stood up, the whole room was just spinning, and it took a while before I got my bearing. This is not normal. This is what you call a demonic attack. This is a demonic attack. And this is something that was described here by Ted Pike, what happened to his wife. And we're going to have to resist and fight this like we never have been fighting before. I would like for you right now to turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4. That's the Gospel of Luke and the 4th chapter. I hear a background noise in the speakers, a rumbling. Luke chapter 4. We're going to pick it up in verse 1. That's Luke 4, 1. What I'm going to do today is this, is my first installment, that we're going to look upon who the devil is, what he does, and we're also going to look upon his personality. This is extremely important to understand this. And Jesus, a lot of people says, well, I don't believe in the devil. Well, Jesus had an encounter with the devil, and we read this from Luke 4, 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said to him, if you be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed him unto all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this power will I give you, and the glory of them, for that delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If you therefore worship me, all shall be yours. And Jesus answered and said to him, get you behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you be the Son of God, cast yourself down from hence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest any time you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said to him, it is said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. When the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. This is also recorded in Mark and in Luke. Here's the thing that I want you to understand is this. Satan is a spiritual being. He has a personality. He is a created being. He's a fallen angel. He can only be in one place at one time. He's not omnipotent. He cannot be everywhere. Wherever he is at, he can only be in one place at one time, just like you and I. If you are here today, you cannot be any other place. He's a person, not a human being, but he has a personality. And he is a fallen angel. This is clear that Satan is not just a force. It is not something that just floats around evil. He is a personality. Now, let's look upon what Satan can do and what he has done. If you turn to Job chapter 1, that's the book of Job, and we're going to turn to chapter 1. Job chapter 1. And we're going to read here verses 6 through 7. That's Job 1, 6 through 7. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said to Satan, "Where are you coming from?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." Then in chapter 2, we read this from verses 1 and 2. And again, there was a day when the sons of God, those are angels, came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, "From whence do you come?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." From this we learn this. Satan can travel on this earth. He's unlimited. He can travel to any continent, to any country. He can travel up and down over the earth. And he does that on a daily schedule. He's simply always moving and looking at things to see what he can find. He also has a throne where he's ruling from. So he's traveling. He also has a throne. The second thing we can learn now is this. Satan monitors the life of people on this earth. Go back to Job chapter 1. And we're going to pick it up here in verse number 8. That's verse number 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that fears God and eschews evil?" In other words, he rejects evil. He hates evil. That's what Job did. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for naught? Have you not made a hedge about him and about his house, and about all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land." Notice now that Satan now had been observing Job. These were the things he found out about Job. If you turn now to chapter 2, and we read here from verse number 3, "And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one who fears God and eschews evil, and still he holds fast his integrity, although you have moved me against him to destroy him without cause." And Satan answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin, yea, all that a man has will he give for his life. Put forth your hand now and touch his bone, his flesh, and he will curse you to your face." Satan can only be in one place at one time, but he has fallen angels. And these fallen angels, demonic beings, whatever they are in his kingdom, are constantly monitoring every human being. Every one of us is being monitored 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year. Satan has an intelligence network second to none, and every human being is being monitored, and then you are being assessed. And after you've been assessed, they have a plan how to destroy you if you are active in the kingdom of God. This comes with the territory. The third thing is, Satan has a legal right to request permission from God to attack people. Job 1:11. Job chapter 1 and verse number 11 there. This is what Satan said. But put forth your hand now and touch all he has, and he will curse it to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only upon himself put not forth your hand. So Satan went forth with the presence of the Lord. In his first attack upon Job, he killed all his children. He destroyed his livestock. He destroyed his camels, which was transportation. He destroyed his barns. He destroyed everything that Job owned. In one day, Job lost everything he had. What was the reason? Satan was trying to break him and simply have Job to say this, I curse God. He wanted Job to blame it on God. Now, Job, this book was not written when this happened. Job had no clue. And this is what happened to you. You have no clue. Things are happening to you. Bad things are happening. And you wonder, where is God? God has nothing to do with the bad things happening. This is the work of Satan. Now turn to chapter 2. Have you read this? From verse number 4. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man has will he give for his life. But put forth your hand now and touch his bone and flesh, he will curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, he's in your hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth for the presence of the Lord, and smote Job with sore boils for the sole of his feet unto his crown. And he took him in potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Job wondered, what did I do wrong? Job was a preacher of righteousness. He was attacked because of that. Now turn to Luke chapter 22. It's the Gospel of Luke, the 22nd chapter. You pick it up here in verse number 31. That's Luke 22, 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan's desire to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for you, that your faith fail not, and when you're converted or turn around again, strengthen your brethren. Now, the devil has a legal right to sift every one of us. Sifting at that time was when they had harvested the wheat, and they were bringing in sheaves and put them on the floor. And there would be maybe 10 men or 15 men standing around. And they would have pieces of wood that had been sewn together with leather straps. And they would lift these up and they would whack the sheaves, the wheat, until the kernels had fallen out, the wheat corn had fallen to the ground. And they would take up the chaff, sweep it up, and have the wheat where they could then use that for baking and so on. That's the picture that Jesus used. He simply said, that is how bad Satan wants to sift you. In other words, when he comes and sifts us, it will be a massive pressure attack upon us. It can be a mental attack. It can be a physical attack. It can be an attack on your finances. It can be an attack on people around you. But Satan simply has a legal right to challenge every child of the King, everyone who's saved, to try to shake us and to have us to curse God. And then Satan will walk away and say, see there, God? That's how much they were worth. They couldn't stand it. So we got to recognize that in our Christian walk, there's going to be pressure. Now turn to 1 Peter 5:8. 1 Peter 5:8. And Satan is continually trying to destroy people. Now, I don't want you to be depressed here today. I'm just telling you what's going on. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Satan and the demons are walking around on a daily basis seeking whosoever they can find to devour you and destroy you. When people come to Christ, get saved, and you will have a happy life ever after, you will have a happy life in heaven. But on this earth, you are invited to a battle. It's a fight. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Now, we've been attacked many times. But when my wife was attacked and eventually developed into cancer, I had to take notice of this. And started looking upon what is it causing this, what can be done to cure this, and how can we get over this situation. The battle is intensifying, and I realized this, that I had to intensify my prayer life. I have to be much more vigilant, and I simply got to watch over my wife very carefully, to make sure that we can defeat Satan. Now I'm going to share with you next week about Ted Pike. If you want to find out what happened to his wife, you can go on his website. And he has it there. But there was one thing that I noticed that he did. And I'm not faulting him. I'm simply saying what I observed. He simply let her float. And he did not simply protect her and shield her from the onslaught of the devil. This is what you and I got to do. When we see someone close to us going down, we need to rally around them and protect them through prayer and fasting and to give them love. And then Satan can only be in one place at one time. And therefore, he has a horde of fallen angels who are carrying out his wishes on this earth. Turn to Matthew 12:24. That's Matthew 12:24. Have you picked it up here? In verse 24. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out devils, but Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself, how shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. We now have demons. This last week in Sacramento, two men, actually probably the last 2 weeks, two men got killed. They both had a mental problem. One of them had been stealing something with a group. Sheriff's department came down with a couple of sheriffs came down with a squad car. And instead of running, whatever it is, this one man just jumped upon a sheriff deputy and started wrestling with him. And wrestled so hard that the deputy could not control him. And they were close to a creek, and they rolled down the creek. And this deputy got underneath in the water, and the man was on top, and he was going to kill him. The deputy pulled his revolver and shot him and killed him. A day later, 24 hours later, something like that, there was a domestic disturbance in the home, and their parents called the police to come and help them. Their son, about 26 years old, was out of control. Because of the cutbacks, it took 45 minutes to the sheriff deputy to show up, just one of them. He walked into their house, and the parents and the sibling had locked themselves in the back of the house to protect themselves. And as this deputy came into their room, into the living room, this man just got in a rage, supernatural power, and jumped and started beating the tar out of the deputy, got him on the ground, and he lost control. His only chance was to pull his gun and shoot the guy, and they killed him. What causes that? Those are evil spirits. Those are demons that supernaturally take over a human being. And without regard, of course, the demons don't die. They just get out of the body when the guy gets killed. Because normally you have self-protection. You don't run up against somebody. You know they can shoot you. You don't do that. But this is insanity of a demonic force that simply take a person over. When was the last time you were depressed? Don't raise up the hands. But do you know that depression is a demonic force? When was the last time when you felt out of place and you got angry and you simply says, you know, I don't like being with these Christians anymore. I don't like this or that, you know, and you just go for yourself. You begin to isolate yourself. You are now ministered to by evil spirits. When was the last time that you simply felt, well, I should kill myself? A lot of people have those thoughts. I've had those thoughts over the years. And I remember before I was saved, and I was riding my little moped motorcycle, that many times when I came down a hill with a high speed, came down to the bridge, a voice would simply tell me this, just hit the bridge, just hit the railing. And I had to force myself not to do it. Those are demons, and they are out there trying to destroy us. Now turn to Ephesians 6.10. That's Ephesians 6.10, well-known scripture. We have been there many times. Ephesians chapter 6. Now some of you might say, you know, I'm getting scared. Well, let me try to point something out to you. If you get a disease, let's say that you get arthritis, and you get crippled up, and you hobble into the doctor's office, and you say, Doc, I don't feel too good, I'm not walking too well. And he examines you there and so on, and he says, okay, sit down in my office. And the doctor says, look, you have arthritis. And you go, oh, you didn't get the arthritis in the doctor's office. You had it when you walked in. I am simply telling you the battle you and I are in. I'm not saying that this is something going to happen. It has happened. It happened yesterday. It happened a year ago. It happened 500 years ago. This is a battle we are in. And we need to know how to protect ourselves. In Ephesians chapter 6 here, verse number 12, we read this. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. This is what we are fighting. Now, every one of us, we get discouraged at times. And, you know, we feel like, you know, what is the use? You ever been there? Now, I was told this. If buy your wife a little trampoline, and a trampoline is good, you know, for the lymphatic system. So I've been thinking about it for some time, and somebody told me, you know, go to Toys R Us. So we went to Toys R Us this week, and I got a little trampoline. Carried the box home, and thought, praise God, you know, we're going to put this together. I'm going to have my wife jumping up and down, you know, getting better. So Saturday morning now I had a joy of the Lord. I was just happy, you know, sitting around, you know, going to put this trampoline together. I tell you what, never buy a trampoline unless you know what you're doing. Now, after I fiddled with that for about an hour, I realized I needed help, so I asked Jason to give me a hand, and Jason did. And so I realized this, I said, this must be childproof, so I need an adult with me, so I got him. So that didn't work out, so I simply called Toys R Us, and I said, well, I'm just going to call them and ask them to put it together for me. So I called the store up, and they simply said, well, did you open the box? I said, yes, we won't take it back. You can only return it if it's an unopened box. Do you put things together? No, we don't. Called corporate office. I called corporate office, and they simply said, well, we cannot do anything for you. You bought it, it's yours. I said, that's the last time I will ever use your store. Then I happened to look upon a description. Now, one of these descriptions now, you know, they have saved money. It used to be you had text. Now you got pictures. And I looked upon that, and I realized, well, we have put it in this way, we should do it a little differently. So I went back to Jason and said, Jason, let's try it this way. And it looks like it's going to work. And then as we tried to do it, and we pushed it, we heard crack, and the welding, one of the joints just broke. There you are. Now, I had a horde of demons sitting on me. You lost your money. You wasted the entire morning on this stupid thing. So you know what I did? I did the wrong thing. I told my wife, I'm going to go to bed. So I went to bed. Told my wife, I don't want to talk to anyone. Now, you see, when you get upset like this, the body is shooting out negative stuff and you become acid in your body, instead of being alkaline. So after about an hour, I decided it's time to get up, and I felt like death warmed over. I mean, my power was gone. Oh, dear God. And I didn't recognize that the devil simply had used that thing to neutralize me, destroy me. Well, praise God for the Holy Ghost. I revived, and I decided I'm going to eat something. When I was eating something, my sanity returned. And I began to pray. And then, you know, I had a very good the rest of the day Saturday. But I want to tell you something. The devil is always around. And he tries to get you to the place where you get discouraged, you get angry, you get upset, you get all kind of different situations. And then you cave in and he wipes you out. Now turn to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. And we're going to look here in verses number 12. And by the way, you know, Satan was trying to irritate me here this morning. I hear this rumbling behind me, you know, like this, you know. And I just realized, I look at that, it's raining, and we got the drain right there. That's what I'm hearing, the drain just going down. So Satan, take that. I'm not bothering that anymore. That's gone. Now, in Revelation 12, 13, we read this. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times, and a half time for the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out his mouth water, and the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away in a flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth to swallow up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. Now, Satan tried to kill Jesus, and Joseph and Mary had to flee to Egypt until Herod was died. But look then, verse number 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, went to make war with a remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, there you have it. It's a war. And the dragon was wroth with a woman, went to make war with a remnant of her seed, which keep the commandment of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. He is fighting us on a daily basis with his demonic forces. And then in Matthew 12:26, he has a kingdom. Matthew 12:26. Have you read this? And if Satan cast out Satan, he's divided against himself, how shall then his kingdom stand? Ted Pike has been fighting the Kabbalistic system for many years. He has exposed something that very few people in the United States dare to touch. And of course, he paid a price for it. Listen closely now. If you are going to fight the devil, you got to do spiritual warfare. You have to do that. You cannot ignore him. You will have incoming fire. The second thing that you need to do is this, that you cannot be a lone ranger. This is what the devil does. He tries to isolate us. We just try to do something on our own. You need to have somebody in communication with you, because at times you will go bonkers. And you need someone that would simply say, in the name of Jesus, we break that spell right now. Because Satan will put a spell on us. And once he has a spell, we just grind down the deeper and deeper into despair. And then finally he says, there is a solution. Kill yourself. Get it over with. And this is why we need to have people working with us. You need someone you can call up and say, hey, I am depressed. I don't feel good. My thinking is warped. Pray with me. We got to recognize that. Let's look now upon Satan's personality traits. We turn to Isaiah chapter 14. And it is important we understand that. That's the book of Isaiah, the 14th chapter. And you pick it up in verse number 12. Isaiah 14:12. Now, when I'm preaching here, I'm getting a message from two sides. You understand that? I'm getting a message from the Holy Ghost. I'm also getting a message from demonic forces. And I really want you to understand how they work. Now, as I started out here, I hear this rumbling noise behind me. I listen to it. I get irritated. And then I say, I hear a rumbling noise. And Joshua goes over to try to fix something. Nothing works. Now the demon says, get irritated on Joshua. In other words, get yourself out of this. Here, now focus on why is he not able to fix it. Well, how can he fix running water behind the wall sitting there in its sound booth? You see, Satan is always trying to mess with us. And we got to learn to fight a spiritual battle. Isaiah chapter 14, verse number 12. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground which did weaken the nations? For you said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the thrones of God. I will sit also upon the mountain congregation in the sight of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. Satan is full of pride. Here is what you want to do now. And I'm trying to pull this together here. If you begin to feel that pride is taking over, that's a spirit. And when you feel that, don't feed that spirit. You reject it. You simply say, in the name of Jesus, I refuse to be proud. I am not going to brag about how great I am. I'm not going to brag about this or that. I refuse pride. Now, what I'm going to do is this here. I'm going to go down the list, and I'm just going to give you the references, and you have to read the scripture for yourself. The second thing that Satan likes to do is to destroy things. He's very destructive. And if you notice this, that in every invention, I want you to think about this. Just about every invention we have discovered on this earth was turned into a weapon. Have you noticed that? Because of the military research, space research, and so on, we reap some benefit. But most of the inventions are for weapons. How to destroy more. Think about it. They started by throwing rocks. Then they got into the bow and arrow. Then they got into the catapult. And then they got the powder. So we could have explosions. Then we had the bombs. And they are building bigger bombs and better bombs. Then we got the atomic bomb. Then we got the hydrogen bomb. We got all kind of weapons. And the weapons are only designed to do one thing, to destroy. Do you realize that a soldier is a destroyer? That's what he's trained to be destructive. Which you see, one of the characteristics of Satan, he likes to destroy things. God is a builder. Satan is a destroyer. In you and me has been laid a desire to build. Women do sewing. They do cooking. They do all kinds of different things. Men like to do things. This is from God. Satan destroys. And you find this in Isaiah 14, 16-17. The next thing is, he's the originator of all evil. We got to read Ezekiel 28:15. That's Ezekiel 28:15. How many times have you been doing something bad, and then comes a guilt that is unbelievable? A guilt that is pressing you down. You are so evil. And you go, oh God, I'm evil. In Ezekiel 28:15. You were perfect in your ways, but the day you were created, an iniquity was found in you. I realized something the other day, some time ago, that Satan simply tried to put this on me that I am an evil person. I got bad thoughts. And then I realized, no, I'm not evil. These are not my thoughts. That's the devil's thoughts. Demonic thoughts. I'm not going to pick up his garbage. That's his garbage he's dumping in my mind. I'm going to clean it out, and I'm not going to claim ownership. I am washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am made righteousness through Christ. And in me dwells the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. I am a good person because Christ lives in me. And I'm not going to feel the guilt. I did not invent sin. Satan did. And then, in verse 16 of Ezekiel 16, he is violent. Violent. Now, those of you that go back into the 50s, remember that the television shows, the movies, have got more and more violent. Everything is violence. Satan is a violent being. He loves violence. He has a corrupted wisdom. Let's read verse number 17. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom by reason of your brightness. I will cast you to the ground. I will lay you before kings that they may behold you. Now the wisdom in this world is corrupted. It is bad. You can be wise and produce things, but you are corrupted. Hugh Hefner is a corrupted person. He's using the printing. He's using the media, the cameras, digital technology, everything else to produce beautiful pictures, but they are corrupted. You got to understand, Satan has a corrupted wisdom. And then he's a corrupter of true worship of God. Look in verse number 18. You have defiled your sanctuaries. There were churches during the kingdom that Satan ruled before Adam and Eve were created. You have defiled your sanctuary, you multiplied your iniquity by the iniquity of your traffic. Therefore I bring forth the fire from the midst of you, shall devour you. I will bring you to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all that behold you. Look upon a church today in America. We have a corrupt church. In Sweden, they have now what they call the Unity Church. The Unity Church. Where they want Christians, Muslims, Jews, Buddhists, Hindus to come together in this building they have built. It's called Enhetenskyrka, the Church of Unity. It is corrupted. Purpose-driven life, Rick Warren, corrupted. Bill Hybels, seeker-friendly church, corrupted. The churches have been corrupted. By whom? Satan. Next one. He's cunning, sly, and deceptive. You find in Genesis 3:1 that he was more subtle than any other creature of the earth. Satan is cunning, sly, and deceptive. When he comes to you, he will not say, I'm here, I'm the devil, I'm going to mess you up. He doesn't want you to know he's there. He might simply use something simple like this. You hear somebody has an experience, somebody got some money, whatever it is, and then comes an arrow. Envy. Jealousy. Why did I not get that? I wanted that. If you don't pull that arrow out and reject that, the next thing that comes in is you could have a little voice whispering to you, people don't appreciate you. People don't appreciate you. And if you agree with that, then say, yeah, that's right. They don't appreciate me. Now, why do they not appreciate me? And then anger comes in, and before you know it, you're spinning around and you are gone to the dogs. Satan is cunning, sly, and very deceptive. The next one, he hates God. Revelation 13. Revelation chapter 13. If you don't understand this, you're not going to stand. Revelation 13. If you read here from verse number 4. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power to the beast. They worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, as they make war with him. And it was given to him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given to him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and then that dwell in heaven. Given to him to make war with the saints and overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. I want you to really catch this here right now. Satan hates God. If you have ever seen raw hate, Satan is standing, he is so mad at God, he hates him. But he can't touch him. And then he looks toward you and me, and he sees God in us. And he comes with a fury, and he hates us. Demons hates us. Satan hates us. Remember that. There is no mercy from their side. We got to destroy his work. And then he's a liar and a murderer. Turn to John 8:44. That's John 8:44. Have you read this? In 8:44. You are your father, the devil. And the lust of your father you will do is a murderer from the beginning. And abode in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar. And the father of it. Satan is a liar. He's a father of all lies. And if he can make you to lie, he has opened up your armor. And he can come in and do more destruction. He's a thief. These are the characteristics. He's also a sinner. 1 John 3:8. I want you to say this now. I want you to go home now and study this. And if you look again, just to recap here. Satan can travel on the earth. He monitors all people. He has a legal right to request permission to attack people. He constantly works on destroying people. He can only be in one place at one time. He's trying to destroy the followers of God. And he has a kingdom on this earth. He's prideful. He destroys things. He's ridden of evil. He's violent. He's corrupt wisdom. He's a corrupter of true worship of God. He's cunning, sly, and deceptive. He hates God. He's a liar and a murderer. He is a sinner. Now, if you know these characteristic traits, and you suddenly recognize that something like this, anything is growing inside of you, Stop. Reject it. Throw the demons out. And say, in the name of Jesus, I will not go there. Look what I wrote to the box here. When a human being is born, he automatically becomes a citizen of the kingdom of Satan. Every person who is not born again is a citizen in the kingdom of Satan. Let's turn to Colossians 1:13. That's Colossians 1:13. People don't like to hear that, but that is the truth. Colossians 1:13. You read this. Jesus, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. The moment you are born again, you are moved from Satan's kingdom to God's kingdom. Change of citizenship. The good news is, Satan is defeated. Let's just turn to John 12:31. It's the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse number 31. If you read this, if I get that, I'll be better off. 12:31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Satan has been judged. Satan is defeated. Jesus came to destroy the works of Satan. 1 John 3:8. That's 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 8. You read this. He that commits sin is of the devil. For the devil sins from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Satan came to destroy the works of the devil. We are to work with Jesus and destroy his work. And then I want to take it to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 10. This is not a message to scare you. This is simply to inform you. This is how he is. This is our enemy. This is how we got to fight him. How do we fight him? Spiritual weapons. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. If you pick it up in verse number 3. We do not walk in the flesh. We do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God that is pulling down our strongholds, casting down the mighty nations, and every high thing that exalts itself to the knowledge of God, and bring to captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having a readiness to revenge or disobedience when the obedience is fulfilled. Your weapons are not carnal, physical, but mighty through God that is pulling down our strongholds. The first thing you need to do is to simply say this: I am not going to be defeated. I am not going to be defeated. 2 years ago, whatever, as Thomas Burns came up here to testify, and first I thought, you know, well, that's a strange statement. He said this: the economy is bad. We know that. But then he said this: I operate in God's economy. I operate in God's economy. The last 2 years, matter of fact, the last 4 or 5 years, you ask Thomas Burns, has there ever been a day when you simply had to close the doors and say we have no work? He will tell you no. Today he is busier than he's been in a long time. Why? Because he simply made a decision, I'm not going to be defeated, and I'm going to operate in God's economy. The same thing happened to Michael Burns, his brother. He decided about a year ago that he's going to operate the same thing. And Michael Burns has been busy putting in money continually. He has not been failing his fund. He's not been unemployed. Everybody else is sitting around. They are operating God's economy. Make up your mind. I am not going to be defeated. Period. That's the number one thing you got to do. And then, once you decide that, you simply then begin to pull down the imaginations. You take down those lying symptoms, your lying things, and say in the name of Jesus, this shall line up with God's word. I resist your devil. I will not bow down. Make up your mind. Now in Jude 9, my last scripture for today. In Jude 9, that's the last little book there before Revelation. And it's just so little, so you almost miss it. Fly right over. There's only one stoplight. Okay. There we go. In Jude verse number 9, we read this. Yet Michael, the archangel, were contending with the devil, disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. We don't taunt the devil. We don't rail against him. We can resist him. We can say in the name of Jesus, get out of here. In the name of Jesus, you cannot build in my yard. But we don't make fun out of him. We don't taunt him. We don't mess with him. We simply shoot them with a gospel gun and stand our ground. You see, there's a pride. When we are fighting and we're doing deliverances, it is so easy for a spirit of pride to come in and say, hey, boys, you're doing great. You're doing really good. You got a lot of power. Why don't you whack those demons? And it's tempting to begin to be nasty toward the demons. But you see, that's what they want. They cut us off then. So when you're dealing with that, you are like a highway patrolman, the way they should be. They simply come up and say, get out of your car. They don't talk about how you dress. They don't talk about your personality. They simply say, stand up against the car, put your hands behind the back. And then they click you, take you away. Professional. No personal feelings. They just eliminate you, take you off the road. That's how you deal with demons. This is my first installment. In the next installment, we're going to look upon what demons have done in the past, as recorded in the Bible, and what they're doing today, and how we can protect ourselves. You got the first part now? Learn what the devil can do. Learn who he is. And make sure that none of his personality traits are in you. If you find them, kick it out. Let's stand for prayer. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now that you helped me to deliver this very, very difficult message. And Father God, I don't want to elevate the devil up to be something great. He's a fallen angel. And all I've done, Lord, is to go through the scriptures and glean out what you have told us, who he is and what he does. We know, our Heavenly Father, that Jesus, you have all the power. You hold the keys to death and hell. And you're the Almighty God. There's no question there. But Father God, help us to understand how the devil works. Help us to be wise. Help us to have discernment. So that, Father God, we shall be able to fight back. And we shall not be victims. But we shall be victorious. We live in a fallen world. But we are not part of the fallen world. Help us to walk in God's economy. Help us to walk in God's kingdom, in health, prosperity, and in everything we do. And I thank you, my Heavenly Father, right now, for answering that prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. You that are watching us, if you say, well, I'm not even saved, just ask God right now to forgive your sins. Ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. And after you've done that, call us, write us, we will help you. And most of all, get right with God and start fight the devil. The altars are open here. The elders and deacons are here. You come. If you have a need today you want to be prayed for, ministered to, they are here to pray for you. In Jesus' name.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you'll die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person, doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: Earth, Heaven, and Hell. So when we die here on Earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, Heaven or Hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation, who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with You. Help me to be obedient and to walk with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was the first part in the series, Knowing Your Adversary, and was entitled, Who is the Devil? Ted Pike recently dropped a bombshell that his wife had committed suicide after a lengthy spiritual battle, and Pastor John recalled how he had personally dealt with similar attacks from Satan over the years. If you're going to effectively fight an enemy, you must be able to locate him, be acquainted with what he does on a daily basis, be familiar with how he thinks, and discern his personality traits. Satan may be a defeated foe who has been sentenced to the lake of fire, but he can still do a great deal of damage to human beings. You should not fear the devil, but you shouldn't underestimate him either. He is like a prowling lion seeking someone to devour. Now, while you may not be able to prevent him from attacking you, you can resist and reject the damage he is trying to do through the power Jesus has bestowed on you by his victory on the cross. This message is available on cassette, CD, and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1326. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-708-3232. That's 888-708-3232. For calls from outside the U.S., the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.